Hello, and welcome to another Rewind. I'm H, and this occasional programme is a chance to hear little gems from Manx Radio's output which you might have missed earlier. Or, like me, you did hear, and would like to hear again. The programme itself is as regular as a solar eclipse visible from the Isle of Man, so enjoy it while you can. This evening we feature sidecars, cake, typhoons, bards, Betty, Handel, but not necessarily in that order. It's like the man in line, but without having to listen to so many voices you love to hate. Other than mine, of course. Probably haven't failed to notice that the MGP and Classic TT has just come to an end for another year, slightly on a whimper rather than a bang, sadly, due to the weather gods interfering in proceedings yet again. Whilst the basis of religion is faith, the one thing we can say with certainty about God is that she doesn't like motorbikes. I confess, I still haven't got my head around what's MGP, what's Classic, and what's TT. I'm sure it's all easy, if you know your bikes. Though, as one of the marshals stationed in my garden suggested to me this year, you can tell as some of them are faster than the others, and the slower ones are generally louder or whiny, but smell better. The good news is, there was plenty of whining and noise when a parade of Classic sidecar machines did a lap of the course. Now, I say parade lap, which sort of implies a stately progress, but once a racer, always a racer, it seems, and even in this parade lap, some of them seemed to be looking at round about an average speed of 100 miles an hour. And when they all safely got back to the grandstand, quite a few had the same thought, it seems. Why can't we have a Classic sidecar race next year?
Well, he's just trundled round the mountain course again at an average speed of 87.4. But Dave, how much fun was that? Dave Molyneux, great to see you.
Oh, it was great fun. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, what can I say? These guys have all made a hell of an effort to come here. You know, from south of France, from Belgium, from all over the UK, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. Just to get one lap of the TT course on a Classic bike, that was just marvellous, that. Really great fun. And we'd agreed that it should be kept sensible. But I'm sure the three of us would like to have sent it right on and gone like loonies. But praying it'll be another day, maybe. Yeah.
Classic TT sidecar race, eh?
Can you imagine? But I can promise you, and I can promise you, that if it happens, it would be spectacular. And just get a drink.
Yeah, have a drink, Dave. That's all right. That's okay. Well,
spectacular.
Yeah.
Because these guys just love this sport so much. And we had the fastest ever newcomer in the TT this year, Kieran Clark, and his passenger there. And they came from this as teenagers, you know, and it's a misunderstood part of sidecar racing and motorcycle sport that, you know, it's an old man sport like myself, but it isn't. These kids come through learning the trade on this, like Kieran, and look what he did at the TT. It was just incredible.
And look what he's done at the pre-TT on one of those as well.
Absolutely, lap record holder there with that particular bike. And, of course, Ryan and Callum speak for themselves, but the bike they're on, such a special bike. Two times British champion, 82 and 83 with Bruce Ford Dunn. I was actually there to witness it at Alton Park, and it was a hell of a sight. But yeah, that's it.
Enjoyed your lap, that's the main thing. And well done to you for helping organise all this as well. Great to see.
It was great. It was great. It was my pleasure.
Okay, Beth.
Well, Dan Sale, you were in the chair there, eased back in. It looked like you'd never been away.
Yeah, it's always a good laugh to get out. It's a real good laugh to get back out of Dave. You know, it just sort of like brings it all back, doesn't it? And we're just having a right laugh. I kept looking over at him and just see a big grin from ear to ear. So, no, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And you know, we didn't get to speak to you earlier, but you were just so close to that podium position as well. You've had quite a day of it.
Oh, man, don't. 0.6 or something like that. You can't blink that quick.
But you've had a good day, though.
Yeah, no, I've had a good day. I'm real happy. I'm real happy where everyone's gone and made up to get out of this, have to run around. And we've been building up for ages, so I'm made up.
Oh, it's great to see you so happy, Dan. I just want to come in here to Kieran Clark. Kieran, you wouldn't have been able to hear what Dave Molyneux was saying about you, but it was all very, very complimentary. How was your lap out there just now?
Fantastic. I tell you what, if we could race this in the morning, I'd be well up for it. Honestly, it's like I built this in COVID when I had nothing else to do, and it's the best thing I've ever done. And I always wanted to take it around here. And I came on the F2 and it were brilliant, but I tell you what, going round there just then on that, it was just absolutely nuts. Yeah, can we do it again, please?
Oh, it would be brilliant. We're just saying a race round here at the Classic TT on one of these would be fantastic. It's a few weeks now since your TT newcomer year. Is that all sunk in yet?
It's with all the newcomer stuff, it's still going on inside us really, but yeah, we need to do whatever we need to do to get a race with classic sidecars here, because that was definitely a lot of fun.
Brilliant. Great to see you looking so happy there.
He'll tell you.
Just going to grab a quick word with Greggy Lambert and Andy, if I can. And Greg and Dan just in a deep conversation. Now, Gregory Lambert, sir, how are you?
Oh, man, that's a childhood dream come to me. It's comfier and better than my F2. It's like, that was a dream ride for me. That was absolutely fabulous. Me and Ben, we said just before we go out, we're going to do a little bit of passage just in between us. And then he said, if I slow right down, just away you go, you know. But that was just absolutely awesome. Awesome.
Do you think Greg's a bit excited?
Oh, honestly, there's nout left in me bag.
steady. We're on a family radio show. Andy, how are you? How is that then? You obviously, this is completely different to the F2 out for you come out the back. And you've got to go out the front on this one. First time for that, is it? No?
Not on this bike, no. I've raced down at Castletown and quite a bit on the Classic, but round here it's brilliant. I mean, I felt like I was an onboard camera that low down looking at the front. And of course, both Greg and I had open face helmets on, keeping it great. And you'd get up for a corner, it'd be like, I need a toothpick to get the flies out of my teeth, I think.
No tea for you tonight then?
No, definitely not. Swallowed a few bugs, but it was absolutely brilliant.
Okay, thanks very much, Andy and Greg. Cheers, boys.
We were talking to Kieran just before, but Andrew Johnson, as you were the passenger, talk us through your experience just now.
It's great to get on a proper bike again. The Classic is so much fun. I've been doing it for quite a long time now, and only been on the F2 for 2 years, and that was so enjoyable. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Great to see where you're going through the bubble, which you can't see on an F2 because you're tucked out of the wind all the time. So, yeah, a lot of fun.
Physically, how is it for you? Because it's obviously you've got a little bit more room there.
Got a lot more space, so I'm not tucked up with my 511 frame, but I reckon Dave probably wants to go out for a race tomorrow, so if we can, we can ride in the wet. The weather's supposed to be atrocious tomorrow, but we don't need slicks, so we can go tomorrow. Love to. Just love to give it some proper beans now. Not hold up behind a motorbike, but let's just go for it. It's a lot of fun.
Who knows what the future holds, eh? Thank you so much for talking to us. And I just want to jump in here with Ryan and Callum Crowe and talk us through that one then. How is it?
It was very good, very different to what we know. We've only ridden modern bikes, but yeah, I think there's to run a classic TT event here on them, it would be pretty spectacular.
Any little niggles around?
None at all. No, it was good all the way around. Obviously, I'm trying to get used to, like the boys were saying, you know, when you're coming down the gearbox, you've got to keep your revs on, to keep the engine lubricated and stuff, and I'm just like, all right, okay, yeah. So I just taught myself how to ride a two-stroke really around here that lap.
Callum, how was it for you?
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I can't thank the organisers enough for getting us out there, but yeah, it's totally different to what I know, and it was just weird having all these handles everywhere and climbing. I had my head right down, I could almost touch the curb with my chin. But yeah, it was a spectacular event, and once again, big thanks to everyone that's got this available and got us out there.
Everybody just wants to see this event here now.
Yeah, I think the organisers were able to squeeze us on the calendar somewhere, so hopefully.
Great, thank you so much, boys.
Ben Birchall's just come in with Chris Pritchard on the other side of the outfit then. I believe he's all been cameraed up and mic'd up and everything on this as well. So I'm sure that is probably going to be on the TT podcast, TT Live at some point. But Ben, first of all, you took it easy on the boy, did you?
Yeah, I did. I looked after him for sure. To be honest, fair play. I just seen him getting more and more nervous as the day's gone on. And he had about 3 toilet stops before we set off. But no, he did brilliant. And it's hard, but what a beautiful machine. I must thank Mike Braid and his son John for letting us use it. It's a 1967 Bush BMW. It's original, it's a genuine article with a 750 short stroke BM in it, and thanks very much.
And Colin Seely, the bike Colin Seely rode as well. Now that, legend, sidecar legend.
Yeah, exactly that. And now we have a Pritchard legend. And,
well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he definitely is a full kit wearing W, and the cycling boys will know that.
Oh, he knows. Thanks for your time. Cheers. Let's grab a word if we can. Right, we're live on the radio, no swearing.
I just want to say thank you to Ben, because he didn't have to take me on the back of that. He could have taken anybody, but literally from the moment I set off here, I was just, that was it. It was amazing. The best experience ever. Everybody all day has been going, oh, it's a bit scary. I won't go and do that head first down there. I'd go and do it again in a heartbeat. I'd do it again.
Could we see you going and doing the Greg Lambert sidecar school with Greg? He could sort you out if you could get to drive one.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a passenger. So I've fulfilled a goal there. But if I could not have to, if I didn't have to lay down face first all the way around and sit up a little bit and move around, maybe, who knows?
You've got the bug. That's you done now. Oh,
sorry, Mum.
Yeah, no, don't you apologise, Chris. Good to see you. Well done. Tell you what, take some nuts to do that. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Thank you very much. And there we go. Beth looking a bit cold over there. I think we just about spoke to everybody. And Lee Johnson goes in and gives him a hug. And I looked at Chris and spoke to him before we went out. Chris Pritchard. For those people who don't know who Chris is, he does all the stuff on the TT fan stage and stuff on the podcast, etc. That with Lee and the team. And you know what? All day he's been going around. You could hear his bum squeaking as he was walking by you.
Fair dinkum to the man who leapt onto the sidecar. I think my bottom would be squeaking too. I love the idea, but actually doing it. However, I would definitely like to see a classic sidecar TT. It would indeed be a great spectacle, assuming all the classic sidecars could make it around at least two or three laps of the course to make it a race, I suppose. And let's hope that dream of the classic sidecar event comes to fruition. From bikes to bards, as the Isle of Man now has its 11th national poet in the form of Bradley Chambers. Bradley took over from Jordan Kenyuk in an inauguration ceremony which took place at the end of August. And as is the great joy of these things, he's a very different poet to Jordan, and indeed a lot of the bards who preceded him. Max Radio's Phil Gorn was on hand to grab a word with Bradley shortly after the ceremony and ask him about his poetry.
I've written poetry for most of my adult life, and even going back into being a teenager, really. It's something that's helped me a great deal, helped me through some challenging times in my life, but it's always been a hobby. That's what it's been. It's something that I do to pass the time, something for enjoyment, and something just to kind of take my mind off things. So that's what it's been to me.
And what plans have you got for this year as Manx Bard? How are you going to promote poetry across the island?
I think that's a very difficult question to answer, because the Manx Bard will need to respond to requests as they come in, and events as they arise. So I think I'll have to be very flexible in my approach in terms of what I do with my time. But more than anything else, I want to get out there, meet people, be a voice to interpret stories and to promote arts, and particularly poetry, on the Isle of Man.
And inevitably, because this is the Isle of Man, people will be saying, "Wow, Bradley Chambers, who's that then?"
I sometimes ask that question too. So I am from Yorkshire originally. I'm not a Manx man, which makes this particularly surprising. But nonetheless, I've lived here now for 2 years. This is my home. The Isle of Man has given me a great deal, and I think this is a chance for me to give something back.
And in terms of your poetry, what are the things that inspire you? What are the particular topics that you like to write about?
I think inspiration can come from anywhere. Inspiration is an unexpected thing. So I might see something that I want to write about. There might be an event or a particular conversation, perhaps. So that's really what happens for me for poetry. I think my poetry is very interpretive of what is actually going on around me. But more than anything else, I have a commitment to doing something about injustice and inequality. That's what motivates me in my career. So I think that will be a recurring theme throughout my poetry throughout the year as Manx Bard.
And in terms of poetry, what do you think a poet needs to do by way of communicating with the audience that they have?
I think a poet needs to be open to voices and experiences. More than anything, a poet needs to be a listener rather than a talker, and needs to find a way of not only hearing and listening, but being able to actually say something back as well about people's experiences. So I see poetry as being very much interpreting people's experiences and being able to say something about them as well.
Do you think people generally these days, do you think people get poetry? Do you think they understand it?
Well, I think the people here today certainly do. So undoubtedly, poetry means different things to different people. I think the problem is the way poetry has sometimes been taught historically in schools has been done in a way that rather puts people off poetry and sometimes for life. Now, that's definitely changing. And I think educators now teach poetry in a very different and more dynamic way, which really gets people interested. So I think that's why we see so many more young people writing poetry and having an interest in poetry than I used to see when I was younger, certainly.
And of course, Phil asked Bradley for a poem. Not surprisingly, as Bard, he was delighted to oblige with this little beauty.
This is called Marco Moon. Of course, it was the wrong chance, the wrong set of circumstance, pitting wrong me v wrong you, the wrong space, the wrong time, forcing fragments into rhyme. Unsaid lines that drift anon, once outrun and followed on. Could we lead, then lead we should, traipsing time's assertion, but we blamed our introversion. Empty bay on lonely noon, conclusions drawing in too soon, flicker flame and fade the day, fleeting swell and passing bough, sad and soft susurrus now. All that remains is the moon. Steps retraced on western dune fade as soon as they are made. Paths you trod will overgrow. Someone else sleeps in your bed. In rooms which closed behind you, the very air is displaced. Those recall stumble over only misremembered phrase. All is swept and thrown away, not one single thing remains. Each day less than one before, silence, screaming, lingers on. What is gone is good and gone, to give chase to warmer sun. It passes, fades, ages, dies, just rain clouds in darkened skies, till I dare compare the past to pages of unwritten lines.
And we look forward to hearing more of Bradley's wonderful poetry in the year ahead. You can catch Phil on Gullisgargan every Sunday, of course, from 4 p.m. One of the best interviews I've enjoyed in recent weeks was the incredible Mr. James Fenton, the Isle of Man's celebrated World War II veteran. Mr. Fenton, a mere 103 years old, was reflecting on his attendance at the recent 80th anniversary Victory Over Japan commemoration event, which took place on the 15th of August at the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire. Describing it as one of the most incredible days of his life, Mr. Fenton was introduced to the King and Queen and UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, and he told Manx Radio Newsroom's Simon Richardson he didn't waste any time in inviting the King over to the Isle of Man.
I said, I know that you're very friendly with our current present governor. I also had with me a little Ellen Van In lapel badge, which I handed to him. I said, that's a reminder, sir, that I hope you will come and see us before too long, and we'd be most, most welcome. All the people of the island. Well, whether that will materialise, I don't know.
Now, looking back, James, you served with the 178 Field Regiment of the Royal Artillery during World War II as part of what was often referred to as the Forgotten Army in Burma. Is that how, as soldiers, you felt about it, that you were forgotten by people back home?
There's no doubt about it. We were forgotten because all the news and everything else that was coming through about the situation in Burma was all less official or less important than the European war.
And of course, it wasn't just a battle against the Japanese. You were in a jungle a lot of the time with sky-high temperatures, humidity, and all manner of dangerous wildlife. Was it as much a fight against the environment as it was against the enemy almost?
Oh, so much so. Because we had so many people, you could certainly be okay. Then before long, you were feeling very sick. The worst thing of all was dysentery that was easy to get. The thing, you see, there was no clear water anywhere in the European war. I suppose you could find water in various places. There was no water in Burma.
James, you've led an extraordinary life. You've had incredible experiences. You've experienced the horrors and the futility of war, really. How does it make you feel when you see the same mistakes being made over and over again in the world? I'm talking now places like Ukraine and Gaza.
Well, you got ahead of me there. Whilst you were asking the question, Ukraine came to mind. And, oh, it's so annoying having lived all these years and finding out now that the same situation is here in front of us. Similar things happening. Why it can't really be sorted out? It's a matter of you get certain people who just want to control everything.
What a wonderful voice Mr. Fenton has. And what an amazing life he has had. Now, there's all sorts of wonderful music here on Mike's Radio. If the daytime output delights you, then excellent, that's what it's meant to do. If it doesn't always tick your music box, then happily there's no shortage of other music-based programmes which cater for more specialist tastes. Not to mention Max Radio Gold, of course. If 60s are your thing, check out Carnaby Street with Chris Williams every Saturday morning. If it's 80s, Ruth Shimon has her 80s mixtape every Sunday morning. 90s, Nicola Holt, 10 p.m. every Saturday evening. Want something more eclectic and to keep up with the local scene? I direct you to Christy DeHaven's Live Lounge every Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. And then, of course, there's all the specialist music shows. I love them all, but I always like hearing Morris Powell's very laid-back love of the light classics presented in his inimitable style. Not so much laid-back as horizontal, but lovely at the same time. And sometimes he has a plea for local choirs or orchestras to try something different, like this lovely bit of Handel.
Chorus from part two of Israel in Egypt, he gave them hailstones for rain. Now, come on, choral societies on the Isle of Man. Wouldn't you rather sing something like that for a change, apart from Hallelujah Chorus and all the rest of it? Surely.
It would be nice to hear more Handel performed locally, it must be said. And we do have a wonderful choral society and orchestra. But I know these things take an awful lot of organising. You can catch Morris every Thursday, 9 p.m. Now, we're used to hearing the bike commentaries here on the island, but less often plane commentaries. We do have the Red Arrows most years for the TT, of course, but in something of a coup this year to celebrate the MGP and Classic TT, we had a wonderful display from the RAF state-of-the-art fighter jet, the Typhoon, over Douglas Bay last Thursday evening. It was a sight and sound to behold, and of course, captured here on Manx Radio with commentary from our very own Winko. well, he's not actually a winker, but he is a private pilot and an RAF reservist, Chris Pearson.
And as you may have guessed, that was him arriving. The display we're doing tonight will probably be a rolling display. So he's pitched up, he's doing a loop, he's gone up to about 3,500 feet and he's now aiming back down towards Douglas Bay. Pitching over to the right and heading towards Douglas Head. We'll just let you enjoy that noise of the afterburner. He's breaking away there. He's still got the reheat lit, behind him over Douglas Head and around towards Port Sodrick. He'll loop, he'll come back in towards us. When he's in the tighter turns that he's performing at the moment, so he's in a nice tight turn, pulling back round towards Douglas Head, he's pulling about 9G at the moment, 9 times his own body weight. He's low over Manx Radio.
I have to say, I didn't think I was going to be able to see the display. I did end up watching it on spec from Onken Head, along with a couple of hundred others, and I have to say, very good it was too, ripping the sky apart like thunder with the noises and barrel turns and loops and slow passes and vertical climbs. I soon gave up trying to catch the spectacle on my iPhone. Now, a mainstay of the weekday output on Manx Radio is the Man in Line, of course. Loved and loathed in equal measure, it never ceases to amaze me, though, how many people who claim to hate it seem to listen every week. Whatever your view, it's never less than entertaining in one form or another. Andy Wint is the usual ringmaster. Rather a good term for him when you think about it. Last week, Phil Gorm was in the chair briefly when occasional regular, or at least that's how I think about her, Betty called in. Betty had an unusual, if admittedly very personal, solution to a problem aired by an earlier caller, re a shortage of funding for young apprentice positions on the island.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, sorry to keep you there, but yes, how can we help you?
Well, I don't know. I've just had a thought. Maybe those young people who are desperate for funding for apprenticeship should just go to prison.
Yeah. No, entirely correct, yes.
They might be better off in prison.
Yeah.
Learning stuff than they are. You know, that's just my thought.
Yeah, yeah. And any bizarre dreams that you've had, Betty?
No, I hardly ever dream, actually.
Yeah.
I just don't seem to dream.
I confess I was holding my breath when Phil asked Betty about her bizarre dreams. He'd asked the same to David Quirk earlier, but sadly David's dreams are seemingly an extension of his conscious life. Brave man, though, are Phil. Or mad, one or the other. The Man in Line is, as ever, on midday, Monday to Friday, and available, like so many programmes, as a podcast straight after broadcast, if once a day isn't enough. We'll finish as we started at the MGP. The commentary team can spend hours on air, and like the racing, the throwback from one commentator to another can be fast and furious, leaving little time to care for the inner man. Anchorman, the ever-collected master of stats, Chris Boyd, was caught slightly off guard in this fashion.
Right, so there we go. Dave Molyneux is off on his lap with the traveller marshal out. He'll be heading his way down to Quarterbridge. We'll hand back up to Chris Boyd for a sec.
Thank you very much. Yeah, glorious sight away here. I just did grab a tiny little mouthful of cake there. That was my mistake. Never mind. So these guys are away. Just a reminder of the schedule.
I'll take it back, buddy. You finish your cake, mate. You finish your cake. Yeah, just we didn't set you up on that one at all. It all just kind of happened like that. But Beth, that's great. It is the amount of people here who came up to see that machine.
It happens to the best of us. Great to hear Alex Brindley's advice in the background there too, with the sympathetic shout, "Keep chewing." That's about it then. I would say see you next week, but I won't, as I don't know when the next Rewind is. But if you do like it, message the station, and we might be able to do some more before the next eclipse. In the meantime, thanks for listening, keep listening, and take care out there. Cheerio.